We're going to do Sif Hey when we do Not Bar Not in Simin Tzadi Hey. Did you make that mistake already?
Yeah,
sorry.
We just want to Tzadi Hey, we want to start the Hey and the basic
right. So my sorry I didn't mention it earlier. Yeah, okay, it's fine, and we have to do it eventually, but at least in terms of, I meant to make that announcement last time, and so it's my bad for not mentioning it, but we'll at least go through that machlokas. Just a marmukah, once you saw it, did you see that there's also a daf achron of the Taz, there's another back and forth between the Shach and the Taz on that topic. Look at the Yalkut Mefarshim in the back of your Shulchan Aruch. We're not jumping. No. We're still in base. I'm just telling them for Achana. We're starting from right now. Shach Sif Katan Dalet. We've already talked about Shach Sif Katan Dalet, but there are two more points about Shach Sif Katan Dalet that we have to discuss. Number one, the Shach is medayik from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch again says that if you put the spoon in twice, you need shtei pa'amim shishim, and the Shulchan Aruch says shtei pa'amim. So the Shach thinks that shtei pa'amim is dafka, meaning two and not three. So even if you dipped your spoon in three times, you would still only need shtei pa'amim shishim. And the Shach thinks that that's a good diuk, because the source of the Shulchan Aruch, after all, is the smak, and the smak doesn't say that. The smak doesn't say twice. So the Shach understood that we see there's a machlokas. According to the mechaber, you only need shtei pa'amim shishim, but according to the smak, you would need, if it was three times, you'd need three times shishim and the like. So what is the machlokas? So the Shach explained that they're arguing about whether we say chanan b'shari surin. According to the mechaber, we don't say chanan b'shari surin. And therefore what? Once the basar b'chalav has already been created, meaning to say, let's say you, this, when you, the second, let's just remember what happened. You dip in the fleishik spoon the first time, so the tam basar goes into the chalav, and mostly, and it's replaced mostly by chalav. Now you take it out, and that spoon turns into basar b'chalav, it's blias basar b'chalav. Now, that created basar b'chalav, legabe, when I dip it in a second time, is like shari surim, says the Shach. And since the Mechaber holds that we don't say Hanan by Shari Surim, so you won't continuously have Hanan. So remarkably, even though, let's say, new milk is absorbed into the spoon when you dip it in again, and that pre-created Bas B'chalav that's in the spoon from the previous time will not Hananify that milk. Why? Because even though it's Bas B'chalav, it's like shari surim to it. Right, that's what the Shach said. Everyone got that? Yeah, good? Okay. It's Shach, not l'shitaso, because he's saying it in the Mechaber. We'll get to that problem. It's fine for the Shach to say it. The problem is the Shach saying it l'dasa Mechaber. So there are a number of questions that the Achronim ask on the Shach. This is a very mechudish Shach in a number of respects. So the first question that the Chavos Das asks, Sif Katan Dalet, is, why don't we say Hanan by new basar b'chalav? Let's give a more extreme example. Let's say you have a pot full of milk with a bunch of pieces of meat in it. You cook them together. So obviously, everything is basar b'chalav. Everything is nevela. Okay? Now, you add another piece of meat into this pot full of milk. So obviously, that piece of meat is going to become aser. But according to the Shach, it seems like we're saying that it's not going to be Hanan, which is remarkable. Right, here you have a piece of meat. This piece of meat has tam basar b'chalav in it. It's basar b'tam chalav. It's a piece of meat that now is in a pot of milk, absorbing milk. But since the milk already had become asr, al basar b'chalav, from the first piece of meat that fell into it, so we're saying now this second piece of meat is not chanan. Again, it'll be asr al tam ke'ikr, because it is tam basar b'chalav, but we're not going to say chanan. That's what the Shach is claiming. And the Chavos Das says, how is this possible? Bishlam, if you're going to say by water, right? Like the case later on in Kuf Gimel that the Shach quotes at the end of Simin Tzadi Dalet, what we did before. If you're going to say that, let's imagine you have a shtickle basar b'chalav, a piece of meat that is tam chalav, already created basar b'chalav, and now you put it into a pot full of water, so we won't say Hanan on that water if you don't hold of Hanan by Shari Surin, right? Because Lagabe, the water, will treat the Basar B'chalav as Shari Surin, because it's already created. But over here, we're talking about Chalav, right? Chalav and Basar mixed together, and they don't create Hanan, they don't create Basar B'chalav. So the Chavos Da says that this is Lo Yitachin. He doesn't actually have a proof. Later on, when he rejects the Shach, he doesn't even do it with the proof. He just thinks it's so pashut that Kol Bar Bei Rav knows it, so it need not be proven. Later on, he tries to give a shtikla raya. But it's just pashut ad l'maod, and he even tries to somehow figure out how the Shach could agree to this, even though that's something that I wasn't able to figure out how he figured out how the Shach agrees. So the Pashup Shad, at the very least, in the Shach is the following. What is the Shach saying? So the Shach tells you what his reasoning is. His reasoning is that, based off of the Ran, holds that why do we say Hanan? What's the basis of Hanan by Basar B'chalav? Because Shneim Heter. So the only time we ever say Hanan is Shneim Heter. And Memela, in this case, where yes, it's true, you have milk mixing with meat. But since it's not true that Shneim Heter, why? Because the milk had already become Aser Alts Bas B'chalav. If it's not Shneim Heter, then we don't say Bas B'chalav. Whereas the Chavos Das says no. The Chavos Das says, of course you say Hanan. Anytime you have meat mixing with milk, you're going to say Hanan. There's nothing to talk about. The only Shaila is, how will the pre-created Bas B'chalav have an effect on water or potatoes or the like? Then maybe you could make the argument that if I have in one pot fresh meat, milk, and potatoes, so then I'll say Hanan and the potatoes. But if I first have Basar B'chalav and then I throw in potatoes, so then Lagabi the potatoes, the Basar B'chalav will be like Shari Suin. Maybe you could make that claim. But when you add more milk or more meat to a pot full of Basar B'chalav, of course that meat and milk, just like it's obvious, seemingly, it will turn into Basar B'chalav, because anytime you have meat and milk cooked together, you have Basar B'chalav, so of course you say Hanan. The Shach says, no, absolutely not. The Chiddush of Hanan is only stemming from Shneim Heter. That's why we don't say Hanan by Shari Suvin. And Memela, if one of them is Aser, so we don't say Hanan. That seems to be the machlokas between the Chavos Das and the Shach. Now, the Prima Gadim makes an interesting point. He says, so according to the Shach, the following would come out. Let's say you had Chalav Trefa. Right, we know that there's a miut for chalav tamea, that basar b'chalav is not created by a camel milk. Well, what about chalav trefa? Cow's milk that was milked from a cow that happened to be a trefa. So that chalav is already asr. So let's say you take the chalav trefa and you mix it with kosher meat. So you'll have basar b'chalav, but you won't have chanan. That's what comes out according to the Shach. That's what the Prima Gadim says. So in that case, there'll be an Isser Bishel, there will be an Isser Hana, like the Rambam writes in Perek Tes, but there won't be Hanan, at least not Midoraisa, which is a remarkable idea, that you could have Basar B'chalav being created out to Isser Hana, out to Isser Bishel, but no Hanan. That is what the Prima Gadim says comes out from this Shach. Now, if you look at the Hagos of Yekiva Eger on the Prima Gadim, he says, not so fast. How does the Prima Gadim know this? Maybe we'll say, in that case, since Lagabe the Isser Hana, Kol Chad V'Chad Shari, so we'll say Hanan. In other words, there is an aspect of Kol Chad V'Chad Shari over there. It's true. It's not Lagabe Isser Achila, it's not Kol Chad V'Chad Shari, but Lagabe Isser Hana, Kol Chad V'Chad Shari, Chalav Trefa's Mutter B'Hana, Chalav, kosher meat is Mutter B'Hana, you mix them together, you create Isser Hana. And therefore, out the Isser Hana, there's going to be Hanan. But it's Dafka in this case, where you have the spoon, that's Balua B'Basar, that already was Aser L'Inyan Hana, right? Because the Blios here were already Aser B'Hana, and Aser, and it's not Shaykh and Isser Bishel here either, because you're simply taking the spoon out of the pot. So Memela, since there's no Tosefes in terms of the Isser Hana, there's no Tosefes in terms of the Isser Bishel, then that's when the Shach says we don't say Hanan. But if there would be some type of Tosefes Alt Hana, so then even the Shach would agree. So there's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Prima Gadim, how far the Shach would take his Chiddush. Okay, that's point one related to this Shach. Point one for today. Point two related for today is the stira in the Shach. The Pri Chadash Sifkan Dalet already notes this stira, that yes, it's true. Remember, this whole shach is based off of the fact that that pre-created Basar B'Chalav is like Shari Surin, and therefore, according to the Mechaber, you won't say Chanan. Well, it's true, like you said, the shach is L'Shitaso, but he's not L'Shitaso B'Das Mechaber, because the Mechaber clearly does not hold this. The Mechaber holds that, let's say you have a situation where you have a pot that's Balua B'Basar B'Chalav, and then you cook water in it 10 hours later, so the Meis Leis clock starts again after 10 hours. Why? Because everybody agrees to Chanan by Basar B'Chalav. That's what the Mechaber writes. So, even though according to the Mechaber, let's say the clock... So that's what the Mechaber writes. So therefore he says, because why? Everybody agrees to Chanan by Basar B'Chalav. And that's in Siman Kuf Gimel we saw it, and the Shach discusses it over here in Siman Sadi Dalet Sifkan Chaf Beis. So you see here explicitly, and the Shach disagrees, right? But you see that the Mechaber held that we do treat pre-created Basar B'Chalav as creating Chanan according to the Mechaber. We don't see it as Shari Surim. So how are you going to be Miyashev, the Stira in the Shach? Because the Shach here is saying it for Das and Mechaber, and yet the Shach also says the Mechaber doesn't hold to this. It's a seemingly a blatant Stira. So the Prima Gadim admits the difficulty, but says you have to say something. It's rather glaring. And he suggests the following. When the Mechaber writes that everybody will agree to Basar B'Chalav, in that case, by the water. Again, the pot that's Balua B'Basar B'Chalav, they cook water in it. So everybody's going to agree that the water is Nasa Nevela. Is that Chanan de Oraisa, or is that Chanan de Rabbanan? So Prima Gadim says, presumably that's only Chanan de Rabbanan. The only time you have Chanan de Oraisa is when meat mixes with milk, and they're both mutter. But when you already have pre-created Basar B'Chalav mixing with water, so the Mechaber would agree to the Shach on a level of de Oraisa, that mid oraisa you don't say Chanan. Okay, well, but still mid rabbanan you do. So how does that help us? So he says, well, over there it's min b'she'eino mino. In other words, it's this pre-created Basar B'Chalav mixing with water. So Basar B'Chalav to water is min b'she'eino mino. So it's chad rabbanan, and chad rabbanan were machmir for Chanan by Basar B'Chalav even to other foods. Gzeira atu, true Basar B'Chalav, true Chanan. In our case, it's like a double derabanan, because besides the fact that this is only Chanan derabanan, it's also min bimino, right? Because you're dipping the spoon that absorbed milk back into milk. So since it's a double derabanan, then in that case, the Mechaber would agree that we don't say Chanan by pre-created Basar B'Chalav. We would treat it like Shari Surin and would be Mako.
Yeah, double derabanan
is what? A, this whole idea of pre-created Basar B'Chalav turning water into nevela is Chanan de Rabbanan, and B, because it's really like Shari Surin, Mikra Din, and B, because it's milk going back into milk, which is Min B'Mino. Min B'Mino is Batal Rov. Over there, it's going into water. It's Min B'She'eno Mino. So when it's a double de Rabbanan, that's when the Mechaber is Meiko. What does the Smak hold? Right. So the Smak in this case says, even in this case, we say Chanan. Right, so if you dipped it in three times, you would need three times shishim. So the smak holds, the Prima Gadim writes, you could have just said, I would have just said, maybe the smak doesn't hold this very razzle-dazzle, fancy cheshbon of the Prima Gadim, that since it's Chanan plus double drabbanan or the like, so Memela, he says this is just like everything else. However, the Prima Gadim says that no, maybe the smak disagrees with the shach, because he holds of Chanan de Raisa, and therefore it's no longer this double de Rabbanan Kula. Chanan de Raisa by Shari Surin, and therefore it's not a double de Rabbanan Kula, it's a single de Rabbanan Kula. Or, alternatively, the Mechaber in Siman Kuf Gimel, who says that the water turns into Nevela, that's only a Chumra, whereas the Smak holds that's Mekar Adin. Okay, so that is the second point in the Shach. Now, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that when is it true that when you dip the spoon in the second time you need shtei pa'amim shishim? That's dafka if lo noda. But if noda, then you only need one pa'am shishim. Right? So just to say the case, again, you're dipping a milchik spoon into a fleishik pot. So you dip it in once, and then you dip it in twice without noda, then you need shtei pa'amim shishim. But you dip it in once, you know that this was a milchik spoon, and then you drop it in a second time by accident, you take it out, only one time shishim. Why is that? What's the difference? Why should it be that noda there's bittel, and lo noda there isn't bittel? So the answer is, as the Gra points out in Sifkam Ches, that it's because if noda bein time, we say kama kama batil. And since bittel is talui in yediyah satar roves, so if lo noda, we can't say kama kama batil. It's kiilu both yisurim fell in at the same time, and mimela you need shtei pamim shishim. But if noda, so then there's bittel, because there's yediyah satar roves, and then when it falls in a second time, we're willing to say kama kama batil. So this is a very interesting point. For the following reason. Where do we find this idea? How do we know that bittel is talui in yediyah? So the Gra notes that this is the view of the Rush, the famous Rush that we spent so much time studying, Perek Zayin, Simen Lamed Zayin. But l'chora, there is a big jump from the cases that the Rush is discussing to this case. How so? Because remember, all the cases of the Rush were cases of yavish biyavish. Whereas over here, we're dealing with lach belach, or balua. And you might have said that the pshat in the Rush, why? What is the svar of the Rush? Why is it that bittel is talui in yediyah? So one way we said to explain the Rush was that's because the whole tarovis is really created al yedei yediyah when we're dealing with yavish biyavish. After all, when you have a situation of yavish biyavish, there is no objective tarovis. I have three pieces of meat in front of me. They might be a tarovis, they might not be. If I happen to know that the one on the right is treif and the two to the left of it are kosher, so then there's no tarovis. If I happen to forget it, so my forgetting is what creates the tarovis. So that being the case, so maybe the lumdus is, since it's the idea that creates the tarovis, it's the idea that causes the bittel, right? Or the tarovis causes the bittel. All that makes sense, or is much easier to understand, when it comes to something that is a non-objective tarovis, a tarovis that's created by my idea. But when you have an objective tarovis of lach belach or balua, then maybe I would say, since this is an objective tarovis, it's not my idea that creates the tarovis, it's the metzius that creates the tarovis. So memela, it's the metzius that creates the bittel. Why should my idea be the gorim for the bittel? The way the Rav said it over there was the matir of the tarovis of yavish biyavish who etzem asafik. So again, if that's true, makes sense that if there's a natural safik like in lach belach, then there should be automatic bittel. So what you see from here is that at least the mechaber didn't think that was the pshat in the Rush or the smak, right? That they understood that this din of the Rush of bittel being tali in yediyah is true across the boards, whether it's a natural tarovis, or whether it's an artificial tarovis, a idea created tarovis. So that's chiddush number one that you see from the Shulchan Aruch. Chiddush number two is that we're willing to say kama kama batil over here. After all, if you recall from Simen Sadi test, Sifav, we learned that we don't say kama kama batil. Rather, we always assume Isser is chos v'neir. And even by min b'mino, Bishlama, right, that was the Rivet, but it makes a lot of sense to say Choser V'neir when it's Min B'Shein Omino. Why? Because it's going to be Nikra Al Yedei Hatam. But the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Sadi Tes paskened that even in Min B'Mino we say Choser V'neir, even though it's not Nikra. That might be a Din D'Rabbanan, it's true, because Midrash anyway, it's Batel V'Rov. But nevertheless, Halacha L'Maisa, we certainly paskened that by Min B'Mino, the Shulchan Aruch says we say Chos V'Neir, you need Shishim. So how could the Shulchan Aruch over here be Mekel to say Kama Kama Batil if in Simen Sadi Tes he said Chos V'Neir by Min B'Mino? So that's the question. So the Shach over here answers this question. Take a look at the Shach, Sifkat and Hay. And the way at least the Prima Gadim explains the Shach is saying that when do we say Chos V'Neir by Min B'Mino, that's Gzeira Atu Min B'Shein Omino. Right, which is what the Ramban said is the reason for why we're machmir to say Chos V'Neir by Min B'Mino. And therefore, here it's not shayach to be gozer atu min b'she'en omino, Why? Because the Isser comes from the Heter itself. There's no external infusion of Isser. It's just coming from itself. Because the basar that's nasar, the chalav that's nasar in the kaf is coming from the pot itself. And therefore, in this case, since it couldn't possibly come to Nesinas Tam, that would be impossible, because there's no introduction, there's no infusion of anything new. So then they weren't gozer to say, Chos v'neir b'min b'mino. Right? So that's the answer. The answer, they were only gozer to say, Chos v'neir b'min b'mino, when it could possibly be similar to min b'she'eno mino, and Bali de Nesinas Tam or the like here, where there's no introduction of anything else that's new, so we're willing to accept kama kama batya. Fine. Okay, that's Sif Beis. Moving on to Sif Gimel. So the tour in Sif Gimel quotes the smak, that if you put a milchik spoon in a fleshik pot, and there's shishim in the tavshil, levatel asakaf, so obviously the kedera is mutter, the tavshil is mutter, there's shishim. However, the smak is mechadesh, that the kaf remains aser, bein im basar, bein im chalav. So the first question to ask is, why don't we say that this is hagala? In other words, when I go ahead and I put this milchik spoon into this fleshik pot, and there's shishim, so why isn't the spoon basically turned into a fleshik spoon? And therefore it should be mutter bebasar and asar b'chalav. Well, the Ramah doesn't say that. The Ramah thinks that's a tzira. That's the Tumas Hadashen. And the question is, what's the reason for that Ramah? That's what we talked about last year. The reason for the Ramah is either the Tumas Hadashen, a combination of the fact that the Ramban plus it's a klisheni, or the way the Shach and the Gra said it is because it's Doma to Simin Sadi Ches, and as explained by the Prima Gadim or the Gra, the like. But the Ramah on his own does not on its own follow the view of the Ramban that we don't say Hanan by Blios. In a pure case of Hanan by Blios, the Ramban is absolutely machmir, black on white. He uses, like the Tumas Hadashen, the Ramban as a sniff when there are other factors. Okay, so now. So again, the question here is, when I go ahead and I dip the spoon in, and there's shishim keneged the spoon, so that should basically kasha the spoon. Why does the smak say that it's usher now to use this spoon with fleshiks? So who asked that question? The Beis Yosef. And the Beis Yosef gives four answers. The first answer, which is actually in the smak itself, it's also cited in the Taz, Sif, Katan, Gimel, is we are concerned that you'll make a mistake, atu hecha de lo nitchava kaf bekedera kiyim bimiktasa. Meaning, you're right, when would there be hagala on the spoon if you dip the spoon entirely in? But what about if you dip the spoon halfway in? So now, well, what will be? The bottom of the spoon will be fleshiks and the top of the spoon will be milchiks. That's not a very good spoon to have for cooking either milchiks or fleshiks. And therefore they said that under all circumstances, you cannot use the spoon with either milchiks or fleshiks. Yeah. This answer is hagala would occur if you dip the spoon entirely in.
But if you did
only
the bottom part.
So hagala would work on the bottom part, according to this, presumably.
We're not supposed to rely on that because it's going to problems.
Right. Now, whether hagala could totally work on the bottom part or not, we got suspect to the previous year, do you assume that the blios are mefapeh and the like? But even if you thought that hagala did work on the part of the spoon, and we weren't concerned of blios being going all around, which again we'll get back to that machlokas from Simon Sat from Sifal. Still, that we wouldn't want you to do this.
Why don't you answer like the suggestion does that your flushish that part of it stayed in? The reason why flushish stayed on shishim is because we're concerned that part of the hollow stayed in the spoon.
Ah, but we don't say that for shishim, because if we did, then hagala would never work.
In the case we're going to flushish, so you need stayed on shishim. Right? So let's say that means ground case.
Oh, so that too we had to say. In other words, good, good point. In that case, we also would have to give these answers. In other words, like it wasn't Roskin or the like. Saying this answer in particular, this answer that assumes that it was Roskin and the like. So you're saying you won't. This answer anyway won't be enough if you hold it the Truma Sadasha.
Or if you hold the previous sif.
If you hold the previous sif, which the smack holds of. So why did the smack have to come onto that? Why didn't it come onto here? So you have to say, let's say there it was Roslin and here it's not Roslin, or we're concerned it's not Roslin or the like.
Right.
And once you have to say that, so why do you need to bother with this answer? I hear. I don't know. Think about that. So you never really need to come onto that answer without the other answers. You're going to have to come onto the other answers anyway. Okay. A good hara. So the second answer the Beis Yosef says, and what Avi's pointing out is you might have to come onto this anyway for the first answer, is that we know that Hagala only works if it's Roschen, and our concern is that the milk, or I forgot, what are we talking about? The meat wasn't Roschen, it was just hot, it was Yad Soladispo, in which case we are not confident that all the absorbed blios in the spoon came out, and Mimela, then the spoon will be left with blios of basar and blios of chalav. Then he says a third answer, which is more or less the same answer, is the misafik resicha masrichan shishim the hagala enam oelas kiem vaday rosachas. And finally, a fourth answer, he says, is that we need shishim mikol akaf afilu besafik tchiva kula the hagala enam oelas kiem bevaday tchivas kula. In other words, maybe you stuck the spoon in only partially. Now, it might have worked, because let's say you never stuck the spoon in more than partially, then it would work. That at least brings us back to the discussion, the Rash Bara'a Machlokas. But here you need, therefore, to kasher it that the spoon went in Vaday 100%, and that's the concern. So the Tzad HaShaveh that all these answers have, all four answers, is that maybe you're right, Hagala could be possible under these circumstances, but maybe you just didn't have the circumstances necessary for Hagala. So you didn't dip it in all the way, or it wasn't hot enough, or you were misupik if it was hot enough, or the like. Right? That's what these answers all point out. Now the Beis Yosef says, well, if that's true, then this halacha, this smak, is the loka rashba. Why? Because remember the rashba held in the previous simon that anytime there's shishim, you could then use it with basar or chalav, right? If you had a fleshik spoon that fell into a pot full of broccoli, and then now you could use that spoon with fleshiks or milchiks. So obviously the Rashba didn't have these concerns. But then the Beis Yosef says, but if you think that the Rashba held of the answer that I told you last time, namely, it's eno bedin that chalav should be able to kasher basar, or basar to kasher chalav, so then the Rashba would agree with this smak. Fine. And if you recall, the long Nekudas HaKasef on Simon Sadi Beis made the case that the smak definitely does agree to the Rashba, or I should say, yeah, because everybody agrees to the Rashba, so Ein Sham for that discussion. Now, the Tur also writes here that the kaf is aser bein bebasar bein bechalav, even b'di'eved it would aser if you stuck it in me'es leis. So the question is, me'es leis from what? In other words, let's just, we'll draw a timeline here. So let's imagine at 10 a.m. you cooked milk with the spoon, at 4 p.m. you cooked meat with the spoon, kind of a shishim, but still meat. And now the question is, if you cook anything with the spoon before 10 a.m. the next day, it'll be basar b'chalav. The question is, what about if at 2 p.m. the next day I cook whatever, it doesn't really matter, does this become basar b'chalav? That's the question. Again, the up till 10 a.m., Avadit will be Basar B'chalav. So when the Torah writes that you need Me'ez Leis, does he mean Me'ez Leis from here or Me'ez Leis from here? That's the question. The Bach says you need Me'ez Leis from here, and the Shach says you need Me'ez Leis from here. So what is the debate about? This is Shach Sif Katan Yud. So L'chora, the Shach's opinion makes a lot of sense. Why? The Shach says, look, at this point, the Basar B'chalav was created, right? So this Basar B'chalav is not Nifgam until 24 hours from the time it's created, right? What difference does it make that, yes, the Basar B'chalav is partially milk that would expire at 10 a.m. the next day? Who cares? L'maisa, the Basar B'chalav, when it's created, is entirely Isser, and therefore we should need 24 hours from then. And the Shach even writes that this is Pshita. So whenever you write something as Pshita, you're always bound to stir up some controversy. It's obvious. Well, so it turns out that it's not so obvious, or at least not everybody agrees with the Shach that it's obvious. Not only is it not obvious, but there are many who defend the Bach and say it's obviously correct. So, what does this machlokas hinge upon? So, maybe the machlokas is about whether we say Chanan by Blios. Meaning to say, if you hold, the Shach holds that we hold of Chanan by Blios, and then it would be Lashitaso, he thinks we don't paskin like the Ramban. The Bach thinks we don't apply Chanan by Blios. So therefore, how do we look at this spoon? Right? At this point, the spoon basically is blios of basar in it, blios of chalav in it. But there's no chanan. Why? Because there's no chanan in blios, like the Ramban. And there's no, it doesn't absorb any basar b'chalav, because remember, there was shishim in the pot. So the pot's mutter. And memelef, there's no chanan by blios. It just is blios of basar, blios of chalav. They're separate entities. So since the blios of chalav expired 10 a.m. the next day, Mimela, it will be Eino Ben Yomo, at least Lagabe Chalav, at 10 a.m. the next day. That's what, so if I wanted to go ahead, if I cooked Basar after 10 a.m. the next day, it would be kosher. That would certainly explain the machlokas between the Bach and the Shach. The problem with this explanation is that it's unlikely that the Bach paskin like the Ramban. Basically, we saw nobody really paskins like the Ramban, Lamaisa, at least on its own. So an alternative, and I don't know, I didn't look to see what the Bach said about that, but it seems like a hard explanation. So the second possible way to understand it is that they're arguing about whether Basar B'chalav is an Isser Machmas Atzmo or an Isser Balua. What does that mean? So the Shach is Lishitaso. Shach holds that Basar B'chalav is Choshish for the Ran is an Isser Machmas Atzmo. So therefore, the blios of basar and the blios of chalav in the spoon both turn into nevela. So even though it's true that on 10 a.m. the next day, the blios of chalav become pagum, right? And we could say, kilu, they disappear. Even if you imagine they disappeared from the world, it was mamish, poof, 10 a.m., like Cinderella, they disappear. Good. But what about those blios of basar? They were nas and nevela, and they don't expire until 4 p.m. So it's going to create basar b'chalav until 4 p.m. So shach is l'shitaso, and now we could say, great. So now we could understand the Bach. Maybe the Bach learns like the Rashba that that basar b'chalav is also treated like an iser balua, like tosfos. Now, the problem with saying that is, why did the Shach say it was so pshita that the Bach was wrong? After all, if the Bach is based off of the Rashba, so remember the Mechaber paskin like the Rashba, right? Even though you're right, the Shach himself thought we were choshish for the Ran, he wouldn't be like so dismissive of the Bach if the Bach is based off of the Rashba. Moreover, you could argue that even the Rashba would agree over here. Why? Because of the following. Even though the Rashba holds that Basar B'chalav is an Isser Balua, he agrees that as long as a Mashahu of Chalav remains, the Basar is Omeid B'Isura. In other words, let's take the example of where do the Rashba and the Ran argue. So the question that they debate is whether we say ein balua yotze below rotav for bas b'chalav. If I have a piece of meat that absorbed milk, it's now bas b'chalav gamor, and that piece of meat touches another piece of meat. So according to the Rashba, the second piece of meat is mutter. Why? Ein balua yotze below rotav. The chalav remains in the first piece of meat. Yes, it's true. The first piece of meat is maflet tam basar shel iser, but that tam basar shel iser is 100% basar. Memela, when it enters the second piece, it doesn't aser it because it's 100% basar. When 100% of the chalav is extracted from basar chalav, it goes back to heter. Good. That would be the Rashba's view. But if even a mashahu of chalav remains, it remains aser. Right? That's his theory. Even by Sharisu, and he thinks that's true without Chanan, because of Eshel Softo aser. Certainly by basar chalav, if even a mashahu remained. Right? So, for example, the Rashba certainly agrees that if I have chalav, a piece of basar chalav, right? A piece of meat that was mamish cooked in milk. And then I cook it in something else. And then a guy tastes that piece of meat and he says, there's no tam chalav in this meat anymore. A Jew can't have it, right? We don't say, oh, it's nisr balua and therefore it's choser laheter. No! Chanan was set on that piece of meat. It remains aser li'olam vaad. So over here, yes, it's true, this basar b'chalav that's in the spoon, the tam chalav component of it expires, becomes nifgam at 10 a.m. the next day. But since the tarovis of basar b'chalav still has chalav in it, so that tam pogum is like, let's say it's like an iser mashu. But even if a mashu of chalav remains, the basar remains aser. So it's very likely that even the Rashba would agree over here that that there's basar b'chalav, that it doesn't become mutter after at 10 a.m. Or to put it a little differently, remember the Rashba, the other Rashba, the Rashba said that no sintam lefgam is mutter alts bittel, pashtas, right? So you don't say bittel here, right? We just said that we don't say bittel. If you have a piece of basar b'chalav, basar b'tam chalav, and now there's no longer tam chalav, we don't all of a sudden say bittel, right? So here too, you can't say bittel, it should remain b'iser. Lamashal. The Rashba would presumably agree, let's say you have a piece of meat that absorbed milk, right? And this milk has an expiration date of in 10 days from now, right? After 10 days, the milk turns and is nifsal l'achila. Nifsal me'achilas adam. But the meat has an expiration date 2 days later. So you're not going to say that in 10 days the meat becomes mutter. So to over here, that's why the Rashba thinks, that's why the Shach's right. Even according to the Rashba, you should need 24 hours from 4 p.m. So what did the Bach think? Well, maybe the Bach holds like the Ra. If you think that the way that nosin tam lefgam is like the Ra. Remember, the Ra held that we see the blios that are nifgam kamisha einan, or he doesn't exactly say that, but that might be what comes out. The Ra held that there's really no difference between blios and ochel, and things that are aser only remain aser until they're nisrach, and that's because there's a single source, right, for einu ru'yu lager. So both of them, it works the same way. And the reason why Akderish Eina Ben Yomo doesn't aser Minat Torah is because the balua, the blios in the kedera are actually become pogum, right? They're nisrach, they're garbage, they're disgusting. So maybe if we say that the Bach held like the Ra'ah and the Shach held like the Rashba, we could understand why it was pshita that according to the Shach you would need me'es le'es from 4 p.m., whereas the Bach's view that we only need base lights from 10 a.m. makes sense. Because according to the Ra'ah, we look at the blios at 10 a.m., shel chalav is as though they disappear. Okay, that's another way to explain a machlokas. A third way to explain this machlokas is to say that the reason of the Bach is based off of Ein HaNasar. Rabbi Kiva Eger sort of points this out. What does that mean? So, right. If you take a look, just to see, to show the, to make the point in a sharper way, take a look back at Shach in our Siman Sadi Dal, it's Sif Katan Base. So the Shach writes that by Shari Surim, if you have, let's say, a kli that was balua be'isr, a spoon that was balua be'isr, and you now you put it and it falls into a pot, and there aren't even conditions for hagalah, let's say. So that spoon will remain usr, it's true, but you will count me'is le'is from the time that the isr went into it, not from the time that it stirred the pot, right? If there's shishim, we count me'is le'is from the initial infusion of isr, not from the time that you stirred the pot. That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's diok on shach sifkat beis. Why? So the answer is because ein hanesar. Yes, it's true we should say hanan when you used a spoon to stir the hatter, right? But ein hanesar. So since the source of the isser is the tam nevela and the spoon, and the tam nevela and the spoon expires after 24 hours, so memela, the whole spoon becomes eno ben yomo after 24 hours. You don't have to worry about the tam water that was nivla into the spoon. That's the psak of the shach. And the idea that we do say ein hanesar, even for blios becoming eno ben yomo, is in the Ramah, right? We talked about it before. It's the Ramah and Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph Sif Yud Beis. So that being the case, then we'll say that the pshat in the Bach is alt ein hanesar. Since what was the cause of this basar b'chalav in the spoon? The milk. The milk expires 10 a.m. the next day. Ein hanesar oser b'makom shesar atzma ein yochol eilich l'sham. Since the milk expires, so then the meat shouldn't be able to continue. Ah, so what does the shach hold? Why didn't the shach say ein hanesar? And especially because the shach in Sifkat and Beis by Shari Surin did say ein hanesar. So the answer is the shach shel shitaso, because the shach holds that basar b'chalav is an iser machmas atzmo. So this is a much better way of saying the var we said before, that the shach holds that basar b'chalav is an iser machmas atzmo. And memela, we don't say ein hanesar, because when the meat becomes asar, it's a brand new thing, it's a new entity. Ah, and the Bach held that because we don't see basar b'chalav as a iser machmas atzmo, memela makes sense to say ein hanesar. So that would be a third way to explain the Bach. And the fourth way to explain the Bach is based off of the Trumas Hadeshen. Remember, the Ramam self and Sif Beis Paskin like the Trumas Hadeshen, right? That if you dip the spoon in twice, you don't need Shtei Pamim Shishim. Why? What's the Svara of the Trumas Hadeshen? So we said the Svara is a combination of Ramban plus Klisheni, right? Now over here you have that same Heter. Because as long as the spoon is inside the pot, it's stirring, right? So again, what's our case? We have a milchik spoon stirring a fleishik pot. There's shishim keneged the spoon. So as long as the spoon is inside the pot, do we have hanan? No. Why? It's niksha, right? Everything is one. Good. When does hanan happen? When you take it out. At that point, says the Trumas Hadeshen, it's already a klisheni. That's why you don't need shtei pam shishim. In that case, would you say hanan in the spoon? No. So the Bach is simply paskening the Ramah. The Bach over here that's Mekel, that says you only need 24 hours from 10 a.m., is simply paskening the Trumas Hadeshen, paskening the Ramah. If you pasken like the Ramah, there's no Hanan here. In which case, what does the Shach hold? Right? The Shach agreed to the Ramah and Sif Beis. You don't need Shtei Pam Mashishim. Why is he arguing with the Bach that the Bach is just paskening the Trumas Hadeshen, which is the Ramah? So the answer is that, remember, the Shach and Sif Beis, when he explained the Ramah, did he explain it based off of the Trumas Hadeshen? No. Right? How did he explain it based off of Simen Tzadi Ches? Like Rikiv Yeger, the Prima Gadim, however you wanted to, the Gra, however you want to explain it. But it wasn't based off of the Lumdus of the Trumas Hadeshen. So just like the Shach in Sif Beis didn't think the Pshat and Ramah is the Trumas Hadeshen, so therefore he thinks the Bach's wrong over here. And now we can understand the Bach. The Bach is simply paskening the Trumas Hadeshen. That's the Pasha Pshat in the Bach. In fact, because of that, the Chavos Das thinks that we absolutely pass on like the Bach. The Shach is wrong. We pass on like the Trumas Hadeshen Sif Beis, and therefore we pass on like the Bach over here. Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out that no, it's not so simple. Because maybe the Trumas HaDeshen wouldn't agree over here. Why? Why was the Trumas HaDeshen being willing to be makel over there with a combo of Klisheni slash Ramban? That's because it's only a Dirabanan Dikadin, right? As we said, Tachlo Shtepanan is worst case a Din Dirabanan. Here, where you're dealing with a potentialist or Diraisa, who says we're going to basically stup together two Shitos that we don't naturally hold like. So the Jewish Hadesh was only makel by a Shaila and a Dirabanan, and therefore the Shach might be right. You can't apply the Jewish Hadesh over here. So again, Halach L'maisa, the Shach says Ramachmir, you need 24 hours from 4 p.m. from the Tchiva. The Chavas Das is makel like the Bach. You need 24 hours from the milk from 10 a.m. The Rebbe Kivager is a little misopik. He wonders maybe you could paskin like the Bach because Behefsin Meruba, since you have the Ein HaNesar Svara plus the two Kulas of the Trumas HaDeshen, maybe a Befsin Ruba, you could throw everything together. Yeah.
Could you just explain how the Svara of the Trumas HaDeshen applies in this case?
Okay, so let's say over here. Again, what happened? You have a milchik spoon, right? And you now stir the meat 4 p.m. Good. And there's shishim in the meat. So now, as long as the spoon is inside the pot with the meat. Do you have any Hanan? No, Niksha, right? Good. And then when you take it out, do you have any Hanan?
What does that do with Niksha? When it just...
It's just like, it's everything is together, right? There's just, no, but you might have thought that inside the spoon it's different, right? Just like we say with a piece of meat, when the meat is halfway in, halfway out, we say it's like a separate entity. So you might have thought the same thing for the spoon. The answer is we don't. That's just like in Tzadi Beis, we don't say if it's Lamatim and Arotev. So good. So as long as the spoon is in the pot, there's no Bas B'chalav. There's no Hanan. Right? And when you take it out of the pot, is there Hanan? No. Klisheni slash Ramban. So there's no Hanan ever. Yeah, it's true you shouldn't be able to use this spoon with milchiks or fleishiks because it's Balua, Bitam Basar, and Tam Chalav. But you don't actually have Hanan. Once you don't have Hanan, then the Psak of the Bach is absolutely correct. Okay. Great.
I asked you before, you strictly told them this.
But nobody strictly holds that. You're right. If you'd learn like the Ramban, none of this starts. The Simon Tzadi Dalet would be much shorter. Absolutely. Also Tzadi Beis, I'm saying a lot of Shulchan Aruch we could just get rid of. Okay. Fine. So the Shulchan Aruch writes over here that this spoon, let's say for a moment, even if they're isn't shishim in the spoon, so the spoon becomes aser b'hana, and the kedera becomes aser b'hana, the food you're cooking, if there's no shishim, becomes aser b'hana. So there's a very interesting discussion over here about the nature of the iser hana on the kedera. The Beis Yosef quotes the Or Zarua, who says that let's say you have this kedera that became, was bolea bas b'chalav, is now aser b'hana atz bas b'chalav. And when it's eno ben yomo, you used it to cook up potatoes, let's say. So I would have said, are the potatoes mutter? Yeah. It's no sin tam lefkam. No sin tam lefkam is always mutter. And that is probably what most opinions hold. However, the Or Zarua, as well as others, said, no, not so fast. Yeah, the potatoes are mutter because it's no sin tam lefkam. But what about the Isser Hana? This pot, after all, was aser behana. And therefore, what do you have to do? Sarach lahashlech demeya kedera. Or maybe demey blia. We'll assume demey kedera lenahar. Since it's aser behana.
The blia is aser behana, not the pot.
So, good question. So let's try to answer that question. Good. So, and the Shari Dura disagrees. So what's the logic of being machmir? Like you said correctly, you're not getting any hana from the basa b'chalav, and it's the blios that are basa b'chalav. So this l'chora comes back to the sugya in Avodah Zarah by Lamed Beis, by Cheres Hadraini. The Mishnah over there said that Cheres Hadraini is Aser Bahana. What exactly is Cheres Hadraini? So they used to have, when you went on a military expedition, you could get fresh wine, which is rather unfortunate if you like to drink wine. So they used to have this method of super saturating cheres with like intense wine taste, and then all you had to do is put water in your canteen and bada bing, bada bang, you had a canteen full of wine. It makes the war experience much, much more pleasant. And it even says that this was Hadrani, this was such an effective method that you did it three times and it was still as strong as like fresh wine or the wine we would make. Okay, good. So it says anyway, it's Asar Bahana. So the Gemara asks the following question. Are you allowed to use this cheres, lismoch bo kari hamita? Right, my bed is wiggly, and I need to prop it up with this cheres hadraini. Now, l'chor, I would say, why not? Just like you said before, the cheres itself is an aser. What's aser? The blios in the cheres. Well, the blios in the cheres aren't what's holding up my bed. It's the cheres that's holding up my bed. So it should be mutter. So the Gemara says, this question is the question of Efshar B'Kiyumo Al Yidei Davar Acher, which means that you don't really care about the blios per se for your particular usage, but the blios are inside something else, and that using that something else, is it mutter or aser? And the Gemara has other examples. Using it for like a saddlebag or this or that. So the Gemara's maskana, or halacha l'maisa, might be that efshar b'kiyumo al-dei davar acher is aser. That's at least what a number of Rishonim paskin like at the end of the Gemara. So therefore, you might have a problem here. Meaning to say, let's take an example over here. You have this pot that's balua b'basar b'chalav. Are you allowed to use this pot to put your tomatoes, cold tomatoes, into it? Cold oranges, apples, whatever you want. So, if you say, Efshar b'kiyumo al-yidei davar acher is mutter, so it's mutter. That's like using the cheres with the ayin nesach in it to support my bed. Because here, am I getting any benefit from the basar b'chalav? No, zero benefit, right? The pot would work just as well to hold my apples, even if the basar b'chalav disappeared. Couldn't care less. But if you're machmir by efshar b'kiyumo al-yidei davar acher, then maybe it should be aser. Now, this isn't so pashut. Rashi, for example, over there says, not there, a different Rashi. Rashi later on in Avodah Zarah writes that the reason for efshar b'kiyumo al-yidei davar acher is based off of the mitzvah Levayer Avodah Zarah min ha'olam, the mitzvah to be mevatel Avodah Zarah. That's Rashi Ayin Zayin Asamach Dalet Amud Aleph Dibur Mascha Rabbanan. So if you think that the reason why you can't use the cheres to prop up my bed is because of Chiyuv Levatel Avodah Zarah, because it's Yayin Nesach, so then it wouldn't apply here. But Tosfos, at the very least, doesn't learn that way. And also, if you look, by the way, the Ramban over there says maybe. It's also very hard to understand why it should be a problem. He thinks maybe, in one answer, the Ramban says, the blios of the Yayin Nesach actually make the cheres stronger. So it's going to do a better job holding up my bed if it has blios in it. Fine. Also, over there, then it has nothing to do with us, right? But Tosfos doesn't seem to learn that way. Tosfos, I think, won't go into how to read the Gemara, but it's a whole very long, complicated Tosos. But Tosos writes that, I'll read you just two lines that are relevant. Lefi Perzeh, according to one of his interpretations, Mashma, demand de asar kol arotze b'kiyuma l'chol shum tashmish, upaskin an hilchos akaman de asar, hilkach, yesh poskim de tzarech lizar, shalo laso shum tashmish b'kelim habluim, chametz b'pesach, mishum dehave rotze b'kiyuma l'yidei davar acher. Are you allowed to use your chametz de kelim to put your fruit in? So maybe there'll be a gzeira or the like. Let's assume there's no gzeiros or anything like that. According to Tosfos says, if you hold like the opinion that efshar b'kiyumo al-yidei davar acher, it's going to be aser. And Tosfos continues, if al enu nira l'rabbeinu tam, midika amar hasam leisei li'isura be'enei, mash me'echa deleka li'isura be'enei lo mitzar b'hana. According to Rabbeinu tam, the Gemara's conclusion is, the only time you have to worry about this type of idea of rotzi b'kiyumah al-yedei dav acher is when it's isei li'isur b'enei. So that's when you have this supersaturated cheres that's pumped up with the yayin. But normal cases of blios are just blios. That's not considered isei li'isur b'enei. And there's no isur of rotzi b'kiyumah al-yedei dav acher when leisei b'isur b'enei. And therefore, according to Reinu Tam, it would be mutter. And that's Tosus concludes final lines. When we can pasuk v'meinu tam, dekderos habluos mi basher b'chalav al yedeshin is bashel bahem shemutter lahasim b'tochan davar yavesh kigon tvua v'chein kederos asuros mishem chametz b'pesach mutter lasis l'tochan davar yavesh aval davar lachlo. So l'chora, the Or Zeruah over here holds like the first answer of Tosfos. And therefore, it should be usher to put cold things into your pots with blasher b'chalav, because we see the pot is actually being usher b'hanat. That's the chiddush of rotzi b'kiyumah al-yedei dav acher. Don't just look at the blios, look at the pot. And therefore, the Or Zeruah goes one step further and says, well, if you use this pot, which is usher b'hanat, you have to not benefit. We consent you not to benefit from that hana that you got from the pot, which is treated as iser b'hana, and therefore you have to throw out that hana. That's the svar, the Or Zeruah. Now, what's interesting then is that the mechaber who paskins that you're allowed to use this bowl for fruits clearly doesn't hold of the Or Zeruah, which is fine. What's a little interesting is that the shach quotes both opinions. And he doesn't note that the opinion of the Or Zeruah is against the Shulchan Aruch, who says that you can put cold fruit into this pot. But I think pretty clearly it is. Now, just one last point, which is, what is this svar of rotzi b'kiyumah al-yedei dav acher? What is wrong with it? Again, l'maisa, I'm not being naneh from the blios whatsoever. So it's true, I'm rotzi b'kiyumah al-yedei dav acher. So the marshal explains, this is in the Yam Shel Shlomo Kolabasar Simen Mem Vav, that a kli that's balua mi basar b'chalav, at least kli charis. Now the question is, does this chumra apply for all kelim or just kli charis? But he says, at least for kli charis, the idea is the following. Since the only way to get out these blios is to destroy the pot, right? There is no other way to get the blios out of it. And I don't want the pot destroyed, so therefore, I'm indirectly benefiting from the blios. To some degree. Maybe it's only a din d'rabbanan, rotzi b'kiyumah al-yedei dav acher, that's what the Ritva writes. But still, at least d'rabbanan, this is considered to be hana from the blios. Why? The chiddush of rotzi b'kiyumah al-yedei dav acher says the following. If something that's asur b'hana is balua, and I were to ask you, do you want these blios gone? And the answer is no, because the only way these blios to be gone is for my pot to get ruined. So then, that's a form, maybe an indirect form, maybe a din d'rabbanan form, but it's an indirect form of hana, and that's why it's aser. Oh. And the so the Chassam Sofer says, no, what do you mean? Hafsar l'kivshan. You can get it out. So the Chassam Sofer said, the Marshal will tell me that no, that's panim chadash polakan. That's not getting the blios out of the old kli, that's a new kli. I want my kli without blios. So then he says, well, he gets into a deal, and how do you look at Panim Chadash Ba'olukhan? It's really, it's not a new kli, it's the old kli. But tachlis, what this comes out is, are you allowed to sell a kli cheres that's balua bebasar b'chalav to a guy? Right? Let's say I have this kli cheres that was balua mebasar b'chalav. Right? I messed up. So I can't kasha the kli cheres. So what's the next best thing? Let me sell it to a guy. So let's assume for a moment that the price of kli cheres that happen to have blios in them are not any higher than a brand new kli cheres. So the Chassam Sofer says it's mutter, but the Marshal says it's aser, because again, it's rotzi b'kiyumah al-yedei dav acher. There's no way to get these blios out without destroying the pot, and therefore that's considered a form of hana from basar b'chalav. The Pischei Tshuva quotes this.
That doesn't mean you want the blios,
you
just want the pot.
Yes. Correct. Correct. So it's a chiddush, which is A, why the opinion in the Gemara that asers it, and B, that's why the Ritva says this isn't really true hana, and it's only a gzera d'rabbanan. But it is a sort of indirect benefit in a certain sense, because Because if these were gone, you would be unhappy. In other words, if they were gone in a way that you know how to take them out. You're saying, no, if they were gone, I would be very happy, magically. So that's the Chiddush. Chiddush says, since there's no such thing as magic, so mimeila, I don't want these gone. Because if they were to go, then my pot would get wrecked.
You don't want it in Svira. You want it gone. You don't want Svira.
Good. It's a hara. I agree. The justifying this position is hard, and that's why we've seen most Rishonim don't accept it. And I think that your taina is a good taina. It's a good taina. But at least Levayer, those who are Machmir, so I think that's what they seem to be holding. One other interesting point in the Taz. So let's say I made this Bas B'Chalav in my pot. So what am I going to do with the Bas B'Chalav? So it's Aser B'Hana. So I go, I figure, I can't eat it, can't give it to my animal, can't give it to my friend's animal. Let me give it to a Behema Shel Hefker. At least it won't go totally to waste. Says the Taz, that's Aser. Why? Dafka bit lebeis hakise, avalolif ne hakelev afilu ein hakelev shelo, and it's clear it means even a kelev shel hefker. So what's this all about? What's this all about? So it's a sugin chametz, right? Correct. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach Simin Tav Mem Chesiv Vav writes, Asher lahachil chemso bePesach afilu lebehemas acherim o shel hefker. Why? Says the Magen Avram, demehanehu kishenosein lebehema. What does it mean I get hana when it goes to the behema? So I remember many years ago when I was a kid, I went to visit my grandfather in Eretz Yisrael for the summer. So my grandfather was an old European Yid, lived in Netanya, and I noticed that we went for a walk, we were walking to Shul, and he picked up like people in Netanya, very Heiliga Yidden, they don't want to throw bread into the garbage can because it's not right. So they hang up bread from the sides of the garbage can so that that way they're not putting it in a garbage can. But it just ends up getting thrown out with the garbage can because the garbage men, they're not going to leave it there. So my grandfather would collect some of this stale bread and bring it home. So I said, Zaidi, like, we really don't need to be collecting old people's bread, that stale bread that they wouldn't eat. My grandfather was very thrifty, but I thought this was going a little too far. So he said, don't worry, you'll see. So the next morning, I happened to wake up at like 4:30, because I jet lag, and of course my grandfather was there, up at 4 o'clock. So at 4 o'clock, he got up to say Tillim. And then at like 5 o'clock or 5:30, he took out this old stale bread and starts breaking it up into little pieces and putting it into bags. And so then we're walking to Shul later on, and he takes these bags of broken up bread and he starts putting them by the trees and the flowers and the different things so the birds could eat. The feglach. And he showed me how he even has like little pieces for the little feglach and bigger pieces for the big feglach, because if you only have big pieces, then the big birds like box out all the little birds and they don't get what to eat. And so I look at him like, now I understand why you were collecting that bread yesterday. And he told me, big smile, v'rachamav al kol ma'asav. So that's what the Magen Avraham means. He got such hana from feeding the behemo shel hefker, from being domel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's rachamav al kol ma'asav. So that's the point. When I go ahead and I take my chametz on Pesach, or my Bas B'Chalav Nes Aser B'Hana, and I go and I feed the animals, so that too gives me hana. And that's why the Taz says, and the Magen Avraham says, that you're not allowed to feed the behemo shel hefker. The Shar Tzion points out, it sounds like this is even a din d'oraisa, that this is considered hana, even though I don't get any monetary benefit, right? But that this type of more intangible benefit is considered hana. Now the source for this is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is talking about chametz. But if you think that this is the pshat in the Yerushalmi, so the Magen Artaz says, so adin l'shari surim. In other words, once you think that this is considered hana, so it shouldn't be limited to chametz of Pesach. It should apply to shari suri hana. Does everyone agree? The answer is no. The Grun or Chaim over there in Sif Zion, Sifkat Zion, disagrees. He thinks that this is a special din by chametz bePesach. The Yerushalmi, which is based off of the pasuk of Lo Yeachel Chametz, teaches me Lo Yeachel means it shouldn't have any achila whatsoever. And it's a gzeres hakasav, maybe it's a din de rabbanan for Pesach, that since this is Lo Yeachel, you have to make sure your chametz isn't eaten. And therefore, even Beim Shel Hefker, I have to make sure they're not eaten. But it doesn't apply for Kol HaTar Kula. This type of intangible hana, even if it exists, is not considered hana, le'inyan ma'achal isurei hana, and therefore it's mutter. Mm-hmm. Yes, Sam, you had a question?
I was going to say, just, some Rishon de Rav Yoch said that it's not that you get benefits, that you can't cause benefits to anything.
So then, right, so if you said it's the Rav Yah, then it would be limited to Basma Chalav. Right? Exactly, like the Gra. Like Chametz, thank you. Right, right. So that's exactly what the Gra says. So you're saying that the Rav Yah, if you, the Rav Yah is like the Gra. The Gra is like the Rav Yah. Yeah, same thing, same thing.
It would still be.
Yeah. This actually comes up a little bit in the kennel discussion, but we won't get into it now. If you go ahead and people leave their dogs by the kennel for Pesach when they go off to their hotels, and the problem is that the kennel feeds them chametz. So, but do you, so is that, the kennel's gayish. So do you have to worry about the fact? So that's part of it. They do. There's a big discussion. So in that whole, one of the big contemporary discussions in Pesach is taking your dog to the kennel and what the parameters are. So what part of that discussion? This whole discussion comes up there. Okay. Where are we holding? Should we do Sivav? Let's do Sivav quickly. No. No. So we're skipping Sivhei till. Sorry, I suppose. Till when we get to Tzadi Hay. Figured you'd figure that out on her own. I just wanted you to figure it out the hard way, like we did. I'm blaming Avi about this, because on Monday, I asked him to remind me to tell you to skip Tzadi Hay. Hey, Tzadi Dalet Hay, and he forgot. I equally forgot, so I can't really blame him. But I'm sorry for not letting you know until now. But don't worry, your hard work will pay off when you get to Tzadi Hay. Fine, so Siv Vav. So we talked here about this a little bit, that when you cook the water in the pot, so Shari Surim, let's say a pot is balua with nevela, and you cook water in it. So now you have to restart the count from the cooking of the water. And that's either because of Chanan, by Shari Surin, right? The water turns into has tam nevela in it. And then that water is reabsorbed, so 24 hours from the water. Or because even without Chanan by Shari Surin, there might be rejuvenation. In other words, once the blios go out and then go back in, so the clock starts again. The clock only starts from when they enter into the walls of the pot, right? Obviously, we don't have this idea of blios expiring, becoming nifgamim when it's out of the pot. So, too, over here. So that's the halacha that we all know, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch writes over here that if you have a fleshed pot and you cook water in it a couple hours later, you only have to count mace lace from when the meat went in, not when the water went in, and that's because both of these reasons don't apply. The first reason of Hanan doesn't apply because everybody agrees that we don't say Hanan by Basar or Chalav. Fine. And what about the second reason? What about rejuvenation? The answer is we don't say rejuvenation over here because Adarabba, we would say not Barnat if we said anything. And therefore, it's okay. Good. So that's pretty straightforward. Everything is straightforward until you get to the Shach, Sifkan Chav Gimel, who quotes a fascinating tshuva from the Maharam Milublin. What does the Maharam Milublin say? That let's say the following. Let's say you had shishim, you had an onion, and the onion might be three kazaisim, and it's balua with a kazais of basar, and now you cook it in a milchik pot. So the Shulchan Aruch already told us that you don't need, you only need shishim because now get the kezayis of basar that's balu any onion. Good, that's pretty straightforward. Now says the Maram Lublin, not only that, but after you've done this, after you've cooked this onion in the milchig pot, you could eat the onion. Now why is that such a big chiddush? There was shishim keneged the basar. The answer is this is a very big chiddush, because we learned earlier this year that we paskin what's colloquially known as Efshel Sochto Aser. It's not true Efshel Sochto Aser, but colloquially Efshel Sochto Aser. What that means is that once something becomes Aser, it remains Aser Li'olam Vaed, right? So if you had a potato that was Boleya Kezayis of Nevela, even if you don't know the Chanan by Shari Surin, and then you cook that potato with 1,000 Kezayisim of broccoli, that potato remains Aser. So too over here, I would think that since this onion retains some tam basar in it, so it should be usher to eat the onion. And yet the Maram Milublin says that even if I could take the onion out, I could strain it out and the like, it's mutter. Mash'ein kein by shari surim, we would say it's usher because of that rashba. So the question is, why is that? The bigger question is, which case is the shach and the Maram Milublin coming to be matir? You see, Rabbi Akiva Eger says that the Maram Milublin, it's right over here on the sif, on the shach, Rabbi Akiva Eger says the Maram Milublin would only be makel if you cooked it in a milchik pot. But if you cooked it in milk, meaning say the following situation, again, you had a kezai, an onion, with a kezayis of basar in it, cooked with milk, 100 kezayisim of milk. So the milk is mutter. The Maram Lublin says you could even eat the onion. Oh, so how could that be? How could that be? Doesn't this onion have bleos of basar and chalav in it? Because the whole idea of the Rashba is that we're concerned that chalav remained in the onion, or sorry, basar remained in the onion, and now chalav definitely goes into the onion, because you're cooking the onion in milk. So now basically you have an onion of basar b'chalav, you're allowed to eat it. Why should it be different than shari surin? And in fact, this question is so strong that the Plesi disagrees with the Shach and the Maram Milublin, says they're wrong, that it doesn't make any sense. It's absolutely, this onion is basar b'chalav, you can't eat it. So the question is like this. What in the world was the Shach thinking? How could the Shach be makel? So, and again, assuming, now, first of all, I should note that who doesn't learn like Rabbi Akiva? So if you learn like Rabbi Akiva Eger, then obviously this is an Akasha, right? Why not? It's not bar not, right? In other words, not akasha, not such akasha. Maybe it's an onion, you don't say not burn up, but still it's in water, it's not something we could live with. But if you think, and that might be why many achronim don't learn like the Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Yad Yehuda, the Beis Meir, the Prima Gadim, the Kresi Uplesi, maybe the Chavistas also, I don't remember. They all don't learn like the Rabbi Akiva Eger. They understand that the shach is mako, even if you cook this onion in milk. Right? Again, the onion, that's balua, the basar, but the shishim keneged that basar that you cook in milk, you could eat the onion. So the question is why? So l'chor, I thought, this goes back to what is the ikar svara of the Rashba? Right? Again, the Rashba is of the opinion that when you have a potato that's balua with nevela, that potato never again becomes mutter, even if you cook it with a million kezayisim of broccoli. Why not? Why don't I say that if you don't say chanan, so the tam nevela leaves the potato, it should be mutter. So if you recall, there were a number of svaros to explain this Rashba. So one understanding is that it's a mitzia, the two basic, I guess, schools of thought in the Rashba, and there might have been stiros in the Rashba, but the two schools of thought to explain this halacha is that it's a mitzias chshash or a lamdish chshash. So first let's start with the mitzias chshash. What's a mitzias chshash? So chshash is that maybe some of the tam remained. Meaning to say, when I cook this potato that had tam nevela in it, with a million kezayisim of broccoli, Well, who's to tell me that with certainty all of the tam nevela left the potato and got evenly distributed? If it did, it would taka be mutter. There's no tam nevela in the potato, it's mutter, because you don't hold the chanan by shari surin. But who's to tell me that it left 100%? Maybe a little bit remained. Now, this formulation sounds like it's a suffix. The way the Rashba and the Mishmer Sabayis on the Ches Amud Beis going on to Tes Amud Aleph puts it, is that El Al Karchach, Kevan Shenasra, Shuv Eina Choseres Lachshera, Devadei Nasra, Shenaflu B'kdeir Acheres, Ein Anu Yodim, Shenischat Mimena Kol HaEsser. So if you focus on the Ein Anu Yodim point, then we could offer the following solution to justify the Shach. Ein Anu Yodim, we don't know. Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't happen. So therefore, for Isser, where there's a Cheskas Isser on the potato, if Ein Anu Yodim, we have to be Machmir. But over here, is there a Cheskas Isser on the onion? No, there's a Cheskas Heter on the onion. The onion was mutter when it had tam basar in it. Cheskas Heter. So therefore, since there's a Cheskas Heter, we're willing to be Mekel, b'makom she'ein anu yodim. Likewise, the Rashba in Tshuva Chelak Aleph, Simon Tav Tzadi Hay, at least in some of the lines, definitely implied that this is a suffix. Right? V'afal pishat amar be'alea kol ayom hi bisur medes di'efshar lamod ala isra baluem yatza mitofa imlav. It's a suffix. So if it's a suffix, then it makes sense to be mekel. Okay, so that's explanation one for the Shach. What about if you think that the pshat in the Rashba is that it's a chalos? That when something becomes aser, there's a chalos iser in it, and that chalos remains forever, even if there's no tam. Or the other way to say that was ein balu ela b'tchilas ataroves, right? So if that's as far as the Rashba, so then it makes perfect sense to say like the Shach, right? There's no such thing as a chalos fleishiks, right? So there's no chalos on this onion, on this potato that happens to have tam basar in it, and therefore I assume that after you cooked it with all the milk, there's no longer any tam basar in the potato anymore. So it's mutter. Why don't I say that by Yisr? By Yisr, there was a chalos, like the Lashon of the Taisus in Avodah Zarah. Right? Even without Chanan, we say there's a chalos Yisr on the potato, or it's only batel b'tchilas tarobes, right? And therefore, it makes sense that we won't say that by fleishiks. So we explained the Shach against the Tainas of the Kresi Plesi. So what does the Kresi Plesi think? So maybe the Kresi Plesi, and the truth is, I didn't look it up, so I don't know what maybe says something else. But it's quoted by the Gilead Marshan and the Prima Gadim. But maybe the Tzad Lahachmir is the following. Remember, there was another formulation of the Rashba. Ein agalab ochlim. Why? Because ochel is sticky, right? It keeps the blios in it. It's not like food. Why do we say agalab by food, not by ochlim? Because food... Why do we say... Why do we say Hagala by Kalim and not by Ochel? Because the mitzias of Kalim is that when you cook water in it, then everything comes out. All the blios come out. But Ochel is sticky. It holds on to that which is Balua in it. And Memela, we don't know. So if that's the reason, then it's a much bigger chiddush to be Machmir here. Now, it's true you could say, well, we don't know. It's a suffix. But if you think it's like... certain formulations of Rashba sounds like the presumption is that Ochel always holds on to the blios inside of it. So Memela, according to that understanding of the Rashba, the Meshach and the Manu Lublin are very problematic, and the Psak of the Kresu Plesi against the Shach makes a lot of sense. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Bezrus Hashem will finish up Simen Sadi Dalid on Monday, and maybe even begin Simen Sadi Hey.